This is my very first podcast, and I'm here with Adam Helway, a person who has much, much patience as he's been helping me set this up. And, Adam, you can introduce yourself, tell where you're from, and what you do other than having lots of patience with me.
Well, I'm second-guessing my career choices now after the last couple days. Out here in the Bay Area, in the Silicon Valley, in California. And as much as you would think it'd be a little warmer than out there where you are, it was hailing last night and this morning. I don't know what the deal is. So what's the weather like where you are? You were telling me recently.
It was minus 15 last night, and I haven't been out today, but blinking cold. Now, when we were in San Francisco in the end of October, everybody was talking about this big storm coming in, and then we found out it was rain, but we don't melt when it rains, so it was okay.
You're not made of sugar, contrary to popular belief? That's what I heard on your blog.
Oh, dear. I totally killed that one. See, the truth is going to come out with all this podcasting business now, I'm afraid.
Well, yeah, that's kind of funny, yeah. When you say storm over here, it's like, oh, yeah, we've got rain and we've got wind, and everybody's... I saw Chris Brogan had a little email that came through recently. Well, I subscribed to his blog, and he had his little flip video of him out where he is, I guess, in New England or something, and it was just snowing and 3 feet of snow and everything, and I'm sitting there going, where is that? What planet is he recording that from?
Yes, flip video is on my list here for 2009, so we'll get to that too, but first we've got to do this podcasting business, and so since we probably have everybody's curiosity peaked in terms of what's been happening, we're trying to use Skype. That was the first challenge of how we were going to accomplish recording in Skype. We figured that one out, and the next thing is after this we're going to get this into PodPress, so that's what Adam's looking forward to. So Adam, how did you get started in all this?
Okay. So let me back up one second and reorder that. The first problem was not trying to get things connected through Skype. All right? The first problem is that we're dealing with your Windows computer.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
And resources.
And resources. Well, Windows computer, and I liked how you first phrased it. You said, I said, how old is that computer? Oh, it's fairly new. It's about 2 years old. What? Where does time move in different ways where you are from, Connie?
Well, I've been shopping this afternoon, so, you know, new computers will be on the way because Adam has pointed out to me that, I think it was the software saying, you know, that you don't have enough resources. So I have everything shut down except for CallBurner and Skype. That's it.
I thought it was interesting because I saw a little screenshot on your Flock browser, and oh my lord, there are so many buttons and things all over the place on that browser. And I mean, I usually have a good dozen tabs up and a bunch of other stuff working at the same time, but that browser just had stuff everywhere. It looked like I don't know, the interface of the Starship Enterprise or something like that. I don't know what the deal was with that. Is that your favorite blog to use? Or, excuse me, browser to use?
Well, I did have four windows open, and each one has their numbers of tabs. And Flock has warned me, saying that if you open one more, I am going to crash on you. So, and it crashes anyway, but, yes, it's like the baby sister to Firefox, but I think I need to switch over at the request of my sister and maybe work too. So, but that's a whole nother story. That's a whole nother podcast, actually. And I must say that Adam, you know, he prefers to have control of my desktop. I'm not quite sure. We're gonna have to wrestle that one out afterwards for PodPress, getting that set up. But
that was until I realized the kind of signal you get out there. A mile away from any of your neighbors or anything, so I have to guide you through the process or something. We'll figure it out, but we'll get it up. And if you are listening to this on Connie's blog, then that means that somehow we've accomplished that mission.
Absolutely. We will make it. It's just a matter of how many days. That is the question. And how much patience Adam has. You see, there is that too. And my sister is helping too. She's my techie person behind all of this also. So Adam, you totally avoided the question about how you got started in podcasting. Like, you're the expert now and able to help me, but.
Well, I don't know about expert, but I mean, my background is in new media, and for the most part, it's always been about content creation. So as an early fan of podcasting, both audio and video podcasting, and actually even previous to all of this, funny enough, is me and my friends and I, a long time ago, tried to start a little record label. So that was when you could finally actually start as a consumer buying some really good audio recording software. I mean, this was probably back in, I don't know, 96 or something like that. And so I just kind of had experience dealing with audio and knowing how to work it. And so on. And it just transitioned into, you know, how podcasting all comes together and easily being able to create some good content on the web. So again, I don't know about expert necessarily. Things done. So, exhibited by our experience here.
Well, yeah. I hear a little bit of skip out on Skype, but, you know, that's probably the other 7,999,000 users. I really do like Skype. I have lots of patience with it. So yeah, in my motivation has come from the Minovate guys. There are some guys down in the Twin Cities who every Saturday morning they do their podcast, and a couple of weeks ago I joined them, and it was just fun. And when I was in library land for 9 years, our local radio guy, he had a half hour program Monday through Friday in the morning, and he knew that he could call me up and have me come down there and talk about whatever cold. And I'm not sure what that means. Does that mean that, like, I was the last minute, you know, last ditch effort? But anyway, don't answer that.
Okay, so he basically went ahead and looked at his list and said, okay, local hero on the football team, let's see, rock star that went out and made it big. No. Librarian. Let's get the librarian in here. That's what it was?
Yeah, it was like, well, I don't have anything else. Let's talk about the library news and get Connie in here. And so I always, you know, would drop everything, run up there, and sit and talk with him. But one time he said, "You scare me." He said that live on the air. And I just thought, oh, man.
What? See, what scares me the most, it sounds like it would be exciting to go out on the radio, but for me now, well, my biggest concern after you say that is you said you would drop everything. So now I'm worried about and they want to check out books, really important that they check out books, and you're not there because you closed down shop. You dropped everything and ran to the radio station. Now,
oh, wait, you know. Wait, I had staff.
Oh, okay.
I had like 4 people all the time. So, and that's a whole nother story too, because sometimes I'd go to like the regional office, or sometimes I would flex my time, but, you know, I empowered them so that they would always open up on time and I didn't need to like show up on time. But again, that's another story. So I'm sitting there in the chair and he says, "You scare me." And I'm like, I looked at him like, why, you know? And he's just like, well, because you can just talk about anything that I bring up. And I just said, okay. And anyway, so that, you know, because when it's live radio or like this live podcast, and my editing skills, well, they're non-existent yet, Adam, so this is it.
So we can't curse or anything like that. We got to keep it you know.
Well, you can.
Unlike our usual conversations, Connie, you've got to tone it down a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
So wait, tell me here, because you know we're only like a week away here, if that, from the end of the year. So we're recording this. This is actually Christmas Day, 25th, 2008. What is it you want to do with this? What is it you want to take from this experience and make happen in 2009? What are you looking forward to?
Well, I need to push the boundaries with audio and possibly video. You know, I sit here in northern Minnesota, and there's just more that I could be doing other than the flat writing. So I just have all these exciting people that I need to interview. And like, for example, in the Twin Cities, there's a lady in the real estate area and social media, and she's speaking nationally, and I need to interview her, and I just need, you know, broader than just a written interview. And then there's also another lady that's in the home furnishings and furniture industry, and she's also speaking nationally. So in social media, and I really need to interview these people and, you know, give them the spotlight and talk about community-related things. And Best Buy, which is Minnesota-based, they just hired a
community. Is it? Best Buy is Minnesota-based?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Yes.
Wow.
They have five big buildings down on their corporate campus.
Okay.
And they just hired a community manager who's remote. He is from Buffalo, New York. And I have my interview questions written out for him, and he has agreed, but, well, I'm just giving him some time to adapt to and, you know, get into his job before I start, you know, grilling him. But I would like to do it this way because I think that, you know, our interview could be much, have much more depth. And so that's just really exciting. And
where is this all going to reside? Because, I mean, you know, you're Connie Benson, known for, I mean, AKA Miss Community, right? So what's the theme that you're going after with all these guests and everything?
Well, it's community, and my blog has grown in this past year to cover more than just community management. It's become more of, you know, everybody from small business to, you know, I found a group of lawyers. He's a law student building community, and then I connected him with other people who are already doing that. Pretty much every segment, even just bloggers, you know, need to be working on their community building skills. So it'll reside on my blog, and I have my new site up at conniebenson.com. And then I want to extend this to my work with TechRegy. I think that, you know, we can do so much more. Doing some podcasts. We're doing the webinars too, but I think that this has its place too. So I'm hoping it just adds a new dimension.
So in regards to community, let me ask you, because I'm curious with your take on it. What do you think is some of the most important traits of being a community leader, especially with the new tools and things like you were talking about, TechRegy and all this stuff that we've got on the web, obviously Twitter and Facebook and all that kind of stuff, and then your own individual communities like Best Buy, I'm sure, maybe working with what they're doing internally with their, I've heard a lot of these companies actually creating communities for their employees, not even specifically for their customers, for, you know, morale and pride and all those types of things. So what do you think is important for a good community?
It's communication and building relationships. So, you know, I mean, when I was to a down in the Twin Cities last spring, essentially the somebody, I think it was from Best Buy, made the analogy that the old general stores, where the store owner knew everybody, knew what they wanted. When I was with the library, I had one librarian who, she knew what her customers wanted in terms of books, and she would just go ahead and order them. I saw Chris Brogan had a post on that about the the bookstore that he goes to, and
yeah, I read that too. Actually, I liked that a lot.
Yeah, and so my librarian, she did that. She would watch when the new books, they weren't even released yet. She was able to instinctively know, and she would just automatically go and request the books for people, and they were great with it. So they would get the book the first. There's something so sweet about getting the book the first when it's pristine. Anyway, as a librarian, I knew this because I got many of them that way. Now I'm buying books, by the way. So,
well, yeah. and it reminds me of, I think it was Liz Strauss. I checked out, and you're probably familiar with her. I checked out her blog, and she has, I think it's her About Me page or something like that, where she actually talks about her father actually, I guess, owning a saloon, mm-hmm. And the whole thing of her father, like, knowing who they were year after year after year. They knew who he was, even to the point where there's one individual that did something. I don't remember. Maybe he just, you know, misbehaved in the bar or whatever, and so he was actually kicked out of the bar and banned from the bar except for once a year, which I believe was something like St. Patrick's Day or something like that, where he was allowed to come in once a year, and then they'd kick his butt right back out again until the next St. Patrick's Day. So it was an interesting take on what she was talking. You know, she was trying to make it a parallel with community and social interactions and things. And so that reminds me kind of what you were talking about there.
Yeah, and in a more formal sense, my library work was so community-oriented in the fact that for us to stay relevant and sustainable, we had to get outside of our four walls, simply because we were competing with Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Google. And, you know, so it was important for me to go out to Rotary Club or Lions and talk about the library services. It was important for me to do public relations work, to do programming, get people to come in for whatever reason. We built up a children's program that was so large and noisy that some of our older customers said, "Now, when is that program again?" Just to avoid the library between 1 to 3 on a Wednesday afternoon, because we put all 150 kids in the center of the library. And the reality is that, you know, sure, some people suggested we should have taken it to a different venue that could have held it. But no, we wanted people coming into the library and being there. And it's no different than, you know, a website. You want people to come and not necessarily crash it, but, you know, having your site crash because of too much traffic
is a good thing.
Yeah, in certain respects. It depends on who's handling the technical issues. But
sister, oh sister, can you help me out?
Yeah, well, yeah, I kind of with my work with Network Solutions got into that situation. But and then at that time, you know, it was sort of some initials in front of their name, in front of their title. But and that's when we did the Hurricane Wiki. It got slash dotted. But, you know, the reality is that we at Network Solutions provided a valuable resource for a really good reason. And, yes, it did get slash dotted and crashed, and they needed to, you know, add more resources. But it's a good thing. It's a good, bad thing. I have that phrase.
And what, I mean, you're talking about the library stuff, and what moved you from that kind of position to this online stuff that you've been doing, especially over the last year?
So I've been online for 2 years. A very small software company found me using their software for my hobby in October of 2006. And my contact at that company was just really a huge mentor. He would feed me every week. He would throw links at me, and I would learn and absorb. And after 6 months of that, I just told my husband in May of 07, I'm going to be a community manager online. This is what I want to do. And I essentially told my contact at the company that. And I just felt so bad when 3 months later he said he was going to work remotely and they gave me his job. Whoops. Be careful what you wish for.
What's so intriguing to you about the online community?
Well, so once I shifted, you know, online and I've been working then, you know, for over a year now online and building community and building my own brand and analyzing social networking and the branding. Social networking and branding are so intriguing to me. But I've also found so many ways to help people and to teach. I have an education degree. And so right now with my present work, the analytics is exciting. I have a math degree also. And the whole concept of providing resources, educating people, and speaking, that goes along with the educating. I have, you know, my calendar is starting to fill for this next year. I'll be, like I told you earlier, coming out to San Francisco twice and then invited to a business conference in Germany.
Germany, there you go, yeah.
Yep, and that's business, but the theme is the share economy. And that's really what it is. It's all about sharing. It's shifting from the traditional, you know, push marketing and saying we have a product and you will like it and you will buy it, to how can we ask our consumers what do they want, create that, and then provide them with that. You know, I think that that's the value essentially of the community management position. And I foresee, this is my prediction for 2009, is that this evolving position emerging too. The community manager position is just going to become that much more prevalent. And there are many of us who are really working towards best practices, and it's just moving in that direction. And it doesn't matter if you call it community manager, social media strategist, social media specialist, you know, whatever you want to call it.
I think they're a slight bit different, don't you?
Well,
I mean, there's some differences depending on, I mean, the title itself, if somebody's putting that title out there in the wild and trying to attract people to that position, the title itself may not necessarily be concretely one way or the other. But to me, when I hear those two titles, I think of something that is, there's overlapping elements of it, but the community aspect is even much more hands-on, maybe on one specific, you know, with one specific company or one specific product or one specific initiative, I guess you would say, whereas the social media strategist is maybe somebody that's doing a more advising role on a variety of technologies that may not all specifically be building community. There's definitely an overlap.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think and what you were saying earlier was very right about it being something that people are looking for more, and that the position will be out there and available to more people who are interested. Because I actually was checking around, and I don't remember what the website was, but I always get curious to see what careers some of the companies online are looking to hire for, and what positions and so on. And there was looking at something which was like a job board. And it was a lot of major companies. I mean, we're not talking about like a number of startups. We're talking about the big guys like Cisco and HP and some of these other companies. And one of the positions, a couple of positions actually that they had, plain and simple right there, was community manager. And it was related to social media and their marketing initiatives and things like that. And I don't put that much in previous years as I have as of lately. Have you been making it, have you been out there pushing for that title there, Connie, and making sure that everybody has a community manager in the organization?
Well, that is my job. but essentially, the one thing that concerns me is that essentially when everybody's using different job titles, it helps it doesn't help people find and connect with the jobs, because how can they search, you know, when there's 40 different titles being used? And then if the job description's really short and not very descriptive, it makes it harder too. But yeah, there's definitely a broad range of opportunities for people. I think the future is very bright. And like, for example, I saw one position called community architect, and you know, so but who's going to search for that? You know, like, they might
end up
with people who want to build buildings. And anyway,
no, that's true. I think yeah, people haven't put their finger exactly on what the positions are that are related to a lot of these fields. We can almost, in a way, create those titles for ourselves if we want to, you know, deal with the whole title thing. And going back to Chris Brogan, like you were saying, he actually had something recently, I think it was within the last week or week and a half, where he was talking about names and talking about, you know, at this point in my career, I've had this name and that name and this title and this thing and that, and but I've done so many things and they're just all a part of what I do. Mm-hmm. I don't officially know what my title is, and I think I'm in that same boat myself. You bring up a good point about, you know, for those who are interested, how do they find things when there are so many names for maybe only a couple positions that some of these companies are looking for.
And so, that's what I've just, as much as some of us don't care for community manager, we just kind of go with that simply because, you know, there has to be some consistency across a little bit. I'm using community strategist simply because that's the brand that I purchased the URL, there is that, and then it's my blog, but then over to work, he didn't care what title I used, you know, it's more like do the work and those types of things. But I am excited about 2009. I think with your help, we've got to get this into PodPress now, Adam. Are you scared?
Yeah, I'm hoping. I mean, we've been yapping here for probably, 25 minutes or so, according to this. But before I let you go, I'm interested. Besides the whole web stuff and all that and everything, there's always so much more beyond that. So what outside of this stuff, what even non-professionally are you looking forward to in 2000?
Well, in 2009, considering that I started it almost a month ago, I am looking forward to more travel. We were invited to stop in Spain at a startup that I've been advising, and so maybe we'll have to do a quick vacation on our way to Germany. That would be very exciting. I have a Spanish degree.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's enough to get me into trouble. I taught Spanish for 5 years in high school, but that means the translation of that is that my, essentially my... writing and reading is very good, but my spoken is enough to get me into trouble. But it would be really cool to stop over there in Barcelona. And then, I don't know, I tend to work a lot. So, you know, just continue to move forward. And I'm going to be going now out in January to Rochester, New York, to my home office at TechRegy. And that's work-related too, but... it's all good. It's a good thing. So
it's related to travel is what it is.
Yeah, it is. New places and coming back to San Francisco. We didn't get out to Alcatraz, so we need to do that because the storm came. Remember, it rained.
And that horrible storm that blinded you by all the water.
It didn't blind us. We didn't even have umbrellas, and we were okay. But
they were just walking through the rain, and everybody's going, "What's going on with these people? Can't they see that it's pouring?"
My other home office, well, it was pouring, but my other home office was in Victoria, the first one, BC, and it rained there like off and on, and you know, so that was just a part of life.
I admire you people that can handle all that. I really, even with the hail that we had earlier this morning. I'm totally cool with it, and I love the sound of pouring rain and stuff, but I enjoy the moderate weather here in California, especially in the Silicon Valley. It would be very difficult for me to move anywhere that has the kind of weather like you do right now, or even in New York. I mean, that'd just be difficult for me.
Yeah, well, Shell Israel kind of rubs it in. He's like, Connie, snow? What's that? Like, yeah. And you know, so Rochester got 14 inches of snow last weekend, and then I think they were like due to get another 8 inches this past week. So I'm kind of going from the deep freeze to the snow bank, and I'm excited, but you know, because they're only like 45 minutes from Niagara Falls, so that'll be cool. We'll probably see that in a few different seasons, and you know, just new places. And I grew up on a dairy farm and have stayed fairly close to home in Minnesota, so all of this traveling in the last couple of years has been interesting. And you know, just meeting the new cultures and cities, going and visiting. You know,
you're not in the library anymore, huh? You're not just stuck in that library anymore.
Well, to be honest, when I was in the library, I went to three national conferences. So I went to Phoenix, Seattle, and then the last one was the first conference that New Orleans hosted after Katrina. And that was interesting because it was only a week after it was in June. It was a week after they had the shootings in downtown LA, so they had brought in the National Guard. And so I went by myself and 20,000 other librarians. And so, you know, I mean, it was good, and they were really so happy that we came, but there was police everywhere.
Nobody's going to mess with a group of librarians in force marching through the city. Come on.
Hey, my hotel was on the corner of Bourbon and Canal. Imagine this. So it's, you know, dusk is setting in, and there's like all these people walking up and down Bourbon Street. And they're librarians. And then they have the locals coming out into the street, you know, trying to invite them into the places.
And the bars and stuff, you mean? Or
yeah. And it was just funny because I'm not sure who was more confused. The people from... Think about their faces. It was a hoot. It was like the locals were confused. The librarians were like in awe. And it was very, very cool. It was kind of a little bit of a mix of cultures. And but New Orleans was great. I felt totally safe. There was police everywhere, National Guard everywhere, and we were in the French Quarter, and that was a fabulous trip. So yeah, I've gotten other places, and you know what? I never knew in June. Well, I never knew that the minute you walk out the door that, you know, you could sweat, even like on the backs of your knees in places that, you know, I mean, it was incredibly hot.
Not only did we have a whole group of librarians in full force, they were all sweaty librarians. Is that what it was?
Well, I think that's just a New Orleans thing. Because, see, it gets 90 here, but only like maybe 3 or 4 times in the summer, because, you know, and we melt. I should admit, once it gets over, you know, like, and it was just really hot and humid there. I must say that I would prefer to live where I live and take the
snow. You were also talking about how you went to Phoenix. So what time of the year did you go to Phoenix?
Oh, man. Phoenix was in February.
So that's a cooler time of the year, right?
No, I left. So in Minnesota in January and February, it's 30 below, okay? It's cold. And I got to Phoenix, and there was, I could smell grass that had just been freshly mowed, because that's a real distinctive smell, right?
Yeah.
And I could smell something, and I look up, and there were like orange blossoms or some kind of citrus blossoms at the poolside. Anyway, that was fabulous. And so if you get us out of Minnesota, last February, we are going to fly out in the morning from Fargo, and it's February. Gonna fly to Anaheim, California. And I shouldn't say it's so bad, but there was a storm and the visibility was really bad. So we sat after they put everybody, all, you know, 75 people on the plane. We sat there for 45 minutes, and you know it's bad when the pilot comes out of the cockpit and uses the bathroom. You know you're not going anywhere for a while. I know. Anyway, so then once the sun came up, and visibility, the wind went down a little bit, so visibility was good enough, then they de-iced us, and then they pulled us to the runway, and then they de-iced us, and it was like 20 below, and this poor guy up in the de-icer. He had to do this for two planes times two times. He had to do it four times. Can you imagine with that wet stuff spraying?
I love California.
And then, because we were all sitting there saying, just take the plane off, you know, because it was ground drifting. And you don't have to see. We have
we have radar, huh?
Yeah, we have instruments. We can do this. But the guy who knew something, he said, no, they can't do that because it's not legal.
The guy who knew something.
So anyway.
Not the librarian from Minnesota who's giving mechanical aviation advice over here, but the guy who knew something, huh?
Yes. So we were able to take off, and we did, and we get into Anaheim. I'm just giving you an idea of the extremes, you know. So it was like 20 below with probably a 50 below wind chill, 40 below, whatever. We get into Anaheim, and it was unseasonably warm, and it was like 85. But, you know, that's a 120-degree difference.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't even think about that.
Think about that. It's a 120-degree difference. And so we got in the morning at like 10 o'clock with the time change. And so we were wearing jeans, and then we went out walking and stuff, and we were just so cooking.
You were wearing parkas, and you had to go pick up your sled dog from the
at the airport
from the luggage area and stuff like that.
No,
before I let you go, because I know that we want to make sure that we don't bore people here, like you were talking about before we hit record. The one thing I want to get advice from anybody who happens to unfortunately have the opportunity to listen to this. But you're talking about getting another computer. I keep telling you, and the reason you want to do that is because you just need more power for a lot of the stuff that you want to end up doing in your travels. And, you know, you were talking about size and saying that with your 17-inch monitor that you have screen that you have on your current laptop, you know, you can barely do anything with it on the plane and so on, and that, you know, if we run a browser on your computer right now, then we can say goodbye to any opportunity to record anything. But I am advising you to get a MacBook. And I know that you're talking about, you know, cost and also familiarity, like just the fact that you don't be with the operating system and all the tools that are involved with it and so on. So I'm actually really interested to hear what anybody out there might be able to contribute, you know, like in the comments, if you get this posted on your blog, or they email you, go over to your blog at ConnieBenson.com and write you an email or something. But I think the crowd can probably advise some good alternatives, and they may all just say, look, you need to listen to Adam and get a MacBook. And I have a feeling they all will. I have a feeling. I have a strong feeling.
Yes. Well, we know that you're right, that it should be a Mac. But I'm looking for a desktop. I think that we need to replace the desktop. And then they make these cute little mini, you know, these netbooks.
See, if you start calling computers cute, we know that we're looking for the wrong thing, the wrong priority, huh?
They are just really cute. I mean, and then I was looking at the cases. So, you know, Dell has the orange, they come in colors, and see, I have orange luggage, I have an orange car, whoever I work for, they have to have an orange logo for their brand. It's just the way it is.
Techrigy, right?
Yeah, Techrigy has orange. AC/DC had a very orange brand. And then,
and we're not talking about the band, right?
No.
We're not a roadie for AC/DC, even though I know that's a popular thing that I keep seeing people bring up on Twitter. but you were not a roadie for them, right?
ACD Systems, yes.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay. So anyway, but I can get like a blue or a black little netbook, and then they make cases that are in orange or lime green or just hugely cute. So cute that I bet TSA will be highly impressed.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
I know. It's the whole, you should, when I go through TSA, I can get those, because we travel to one for my husband and myself. I can get those things out so fast and whatever. It's just terrible. But they have me well trained. You know, we're really starting to digress, but I agree. I know. I don't know if I should have a Mac, if I should have a PC. I think that I am shopping, though. I think it has to be done by the end of the year.
You think you'll have a week until you can do it?
I do.
Wow.
I do. Well, okay, I don't know what income taxes rules are. I'll have to call my accountant, but anyway.
All right. Well, so what are we, you're going to have something like an article up there that talks about what, you know, what podcasts you might have next, what is the theme going to be, when people should expect it, and so on?
Oh, I suppose. Editorial. You know, this week is, you asked me if I'm working this week, and I'm doing strategic planning for both of my startups, for my own life, and what are you doing?
I'm pretty much doing the same thing. I actually have, I've talked with you in length about, you know, what direction I want to go with my blog. And so I have a blog that I need to do a few customizations on and put up a few articles that I've started. And for the most part, those are, it's a brand spanking new blog. So, and that'll be about just like what we were talking about, social media, marketing, branding, the internet, you know, all that kind of stuff. With my own personal little slant on it, hopefully some multimedia stuff like that as well. But then I've just noticed I've had a lot of things in, that I'd like to share my opinion about, and just doing it on Twitter or something is not the easiest way to do anything in long form. And it's really more personal stuff, like, you know, sometimes I like watching shows like Lost, and I've been watching online episodes of Heroes, which, you know, used to be a good show, but some of these things and see what other people think on another site. So I'm actually working on launching that as well, and then a few other things that are going to be happening in the next, during the next year, a lot of little partnerships and doing some guest writing and stuff like that. I'm actually going to be doing some speaking as well, and trying to keep the ball rolling with that stuff. So I'm trying to do what I can between now and the first of the year to make that all happen.
I know, including your entertaining. Yes. And I know, and, you know, I you never know. I might just apply for that co-hosting in your podcast. You never know. Or are you
still? We've still been bouncing around. I think you're afraid until you finally see that the software and hardware is all working and records. We'll see if this, after 45 minutes of invested time, actually comes out the other end sounding like an actual recording, an audio recording, and see what people think of it.
Yeah, well, I appreciate your time, totally, and your expertise. So I think we're going to have to quit recording, though, because they do not want to hear the words as we go through setting up PodPress. That just might not be pretty.
Sure. So
hopefully it'll work, and, you know, I might give you control over my desktop. My sister would cringe, but it's okay. It's okay.
Don't worry. I'm cringing as I'm doing it. It's all good.
Oh, you're cringing.
I've been on Macs for the last couple of years, so to turn around and have to deal with that Windows machine and trying to figure some of that stuff out. It's not Vista, is it?
No, I'm still on XP. And you know,
okay.
You know, you heard my take on the DLL files, because that lame one was. Anyway, but and
that'll have to explain that next time what the whole lame deal was. So you were we'll leave it with this. Your software that you were trying to use, Audacity, uses a lame format for audio, blah 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 blah, technology stuff. But you asked me, what's going on with this lame file? Why is it not working? And somehow I brought it up that you said, what's a lame DLL? And I said, well, you're using Windows, right? All the files on your Windows machine are lame. Didn't yeah. work out.
Yeah.
Not a very good
no.
joke.
And it worked for me. We were laughing the other night. That's the only thing that kept us going. So I have found the lame deal, and I installed it, and we'll see if Audacity can do editing, but not for this one. And, you know, if I decide I can do this, then we will add music at the beginning and end and make it all pretty. But for the time being, we're just going to have to cover these first hurdles, and then, you know, who knows, maybe we'll inspire others to do it.
Well, I think my wife knows that we're about finishing up because she's calling me now on my cell phone.
She is, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, and there will be more to come. Thanks, Adam.
All right.
Bye-bye.